WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Chef's Special Cocktail Bar, an American Chinese restaurant in Bucktown, also known for its drinks, opened in February 2020. A month later, COVID-19 led to the pandemic lockdown. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset.
Left unchecked, cases in Illinois will rise rapidly. To avoid the loss of potentially tens of thousands of lives, we must enact an immediate stay-at-home order for the state of Illinois.
If we don't maintain the social distancing we need, we will lose ground.
That's Governor J.B. Pritzker and then mayor of Chicago Lori Lightfoot in 2020. Restaurants immediately felt the impact. It's hard to social distance when eating indoors.
The Illinois Restaurant Association estimates that 20% of all restaurants in the city of Chicago will close this year.
Restaurants in Chicago are checking vaccine cards, enforcing the city's mandate.
Restaurants in Chicago are fighting back against all these COVID restrictions.
Cocktails to go, you know, they've been a lifesaver for a lot of struggling bars and restaurants during the pandemic in Illinois.
But the bill that makes it legal is about to expire.
The full council vote is expected on expanding outdoor dining program. It was created during the pandemic. The vote would make that plan permanent.
Restaurants quickly had to adapt and then adapt again and again. To reflect on the lessons learned from that tumultuous time and what business looks like 5 years on, we spoke with Chase Bracamontes, co-owner and beverage director at Chef Special, and Aaron Cabot, who's co-owner and head chef. We started with them taking us back to February 2020 when they first opened.
Truth is, I had never opened a restaurant, so it was overwhelming.
Oh, I can imagine.
It was a ball of excitement and anticipation and nerves, and we felt really prepared. And then at the same time, as soon as you actually open your doors, you realize that everything you've prepared for is not reality.
Yeah.
And that you have to bob and weave and adapt and change your business, basically.
The restaurant game is, it's tough,
yeah,
right?
I mean, we've always been in that business, so we always knew that was the score, but... opening a place is definitely its own challenge.
So for folks who have never been to Chef Special, Aaron, how do you describe it?
We focus on comfort food with a Chinese-American focus.
Mm-hmm.
The dry chili chicken is fantastic. We use a lot of spicy flavors, bold flavors, dumplings. We do a hand-pulled noodle, stir fries.
Oh, my goodness, yep. Aaron. You can stop right there. That's
yeah.
A lot. So everything's happening. It's February 2020. You're grinding. You've opened up this new spot. It's going. And then Illinois goes into lockdown a month later. What goes through your mind at that point, Chase?
I mean, it was like intense whiplash where we had all this momentum. We were really busy. We were doing great. We were adapting to what the community wanted, changing and buying more and rehiring and retraining just within those like first weeks to really execute the concept the best way possible. And then it was like complete silence.
So what's the first thing you do? Tell the staff?
Well, yes. Part of it was gathering our thoughts and focus and kind of not really having a lot of time to let the impact and the intensity of the situation settle in. I had never in my mind like imagined such a dramatic turn of events. So there was that. And then we had to quickly snap into gear where we realized that we're leaders of the business and that we provide people their livelihoods and their paychecks and their health insurance, and that we had to get our act together as best as we could to let them know the information that we had, what our plan was as of then to respond to it, trying to comfort them and letting them know that we're also going to continue to listen to what is recommended by the CDC, what is healthy, and what can be important information for them to move forward with purpose and peace of mind as best as we possibly can.
Wow, there was so much information to shell out at that time with so little, right?
Right.
You're receiving so little information at the same time. Aaron, what about you? What are the steps you take in that moment to lock down the kitchen?
We luckily have an amazing staff. Everybody really pulled together to offer their time in helping us to get the restaurant cleared out. We had a bunch of food in the cooler.
I can imagine. Yeah.
It was like a still life in there because we one day were operating service and the next day we're completely empty.
Goodness.
I cooked a lot of meals. I gave some of it away to the staff. We tried to create a system of delivering boxes of groceries, and it was really important to us to make sure that our staff were taken care of and that they had meals and food.
Tell me about morale. How's the staff doing at this point?
It was hard to tell because our staff was new. We had just trained them. We had just started working with them. We were really busy. We didn't know them that well yet. And all we could imagine was that they were devastated and scared, and we definitely had to take it from a place where we wanted to present calm, reasonably confident, not cocky, but, you know, give them some sort of reassurance that we would work hard, we would work for them, we would be as safe as possible, we would try to provide them jobs when it was the right time again, and that we did feel indeed like a community at that time. So we had a newsletter at the time that we sent out, and we had them contribute to if they wanted to with recipes and interviews and jokes and playlists. And that was a way for them to stay connected together and have something light and fun as a distraction.
Quarantine newsletter, you called it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was fun, and it gave me the opportunity to like work on some other skills and connect with the staff as well and get to know them. So that was one way to keep morale up. And we listened to a lot of music, and we talked a lot, and we connected about the experience once we were back after lockdown.
And Chase, at the same time, I hear you're collaborating with your peers, right? You were meeting with other restaurants right before lockdown because we anticipated it coming.
Yes.
To sort of see, okay, what are you folks going to do? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Absolutely. So it was building up to that weekend. I remember that we didn't open that Saturday before we got the news. And my parents were supposed to come in. And I was like, don't come. Like, this is going down. I don't think it's safe. We don't have the information, but I don't feel good about what we do know right now. So let's wait. And then, sure enough, we didn't open our doors for that weekend. And then our business partners helped organize really this like miraculous meeting of the minds of maybe 50 to 100 restaurateurs and chefs and beverage directors from around the city to acknowledge what was going on and get on a community thread in case we needed to run ideas by each other, ask questions, and kind of have a link to support since we were anticipating this being a massive change to our industry, and we knew that we were all going to have to redesign our lives and our businesses to get through it.
Well, one pivot was takeout, which you weren't set up to do originally. Is that right, Aaron?
That's correct. We had a plan to start takeout at some point, but as soon as
but not in month one.
Exactly. And we took a really big risk by restructuring our entire plan and making more space in the kitchen and streamlining our operation. But we had to be very strategic with some of the guidelines. And we had a very small skeleton crew, and we were doing sort of like a ghost kitchen operation.
Yeah, I heard about this dispatch system that you had going.
For delivery.
Yeah. Oh, was that for delivery? How did that work?
You know, I definitely didn't have another thing I had like no experience in that we were like, okay, time to get good at this, was that we wanted to do in-house delivery. Because we wanted to employ as many people as we possibly could. So basically, we had server assistants and bartenders and cooks, all who had cars. And we were like, hey, who feels comfortable transitioning into a delivery role? Is that something that you would, you know, feel comfortable and want to do? Mm-hmm. So that became one of our other jobs and ways of providing income and transitioning the business model into takeout. And then usually me or another manager would be dispatched. So we would get in the orders, we would plot where they were, map them.
Oh my gosh.
And then we would literally have like a headset and be on the phone with them. And I'd be like, okay, you're going down the street to Bucktown. Then you're going to hit up Wicker Park, you
wow.
know? And
you became like your own little like
right,
call
right.
center.
Exactly. And it's like,
oh
you can
gosh.
Take three orders because point A and B are really close. So I think you'll stay hot. But
the skills
but four,
you've
you know,
picked up.
You got to come back. So
this is incredible.
It was silly. It brought like a charm to the experience
yeah.
also.
And you're dealing with the whiplash that the rest of us were dealing with.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people who dine out.
Right.
You know, at one point you can eat at the restaurant. Then it's like, oh, no, we got to
yeah.
shut it down. You got to eat outside or they've
right.
got to do these bubbles.
Right.
right.
Right. You're Zooming with your friends and having dinner at the same time to pretend like you're at a party. You
yes.
know, like all sorts of imaginative stuff.
How did you manage guests' fears about COVID safety?
That was tough. I think that we had to be really honest with ourselves and the staff and open and communicative because obviously the guidelines changed a lot over time. And there were a lot of creative ideas of how to adapt to them, how to work within them. Some places wanted to work around them. And what we genuinely felt was safe, that at the end of the day, with the information that we had, that we would feel proud of presenting
yeah.
as this is okay. This is something that we can be behind. If, you know, our employees feel comfortable, we want you to be on the team with us doing this and then present that as a package and our new business model
mm-hmm.
to guests. And if they felt comfortable, then we were happy to have them in.
Good.
We definitely tried to communicate what we were doing on Instagram, you know, using social media as a form of outreach and communication, as well as the website, and also be humble enough to reflect on what we're doing
yeah.
and be like, hey, in theory, that was a great idea and it felt safe, but in practice, it didn't work.
Yeah.
So let's recreate what we're going to do moving forward.
This is all happening and we're all scared for our lives at the time and trying to move on and trying to live as though, you know, this is just going to be temporary. Remember that time when we thought things were just going to be a few weeks,
oh,
a few
yeah.
months?
Of course.
Were there times where you thought, oh, my gosh, we're not going to make it. This restaurant is not going to make it. We're too new. We can't survive this. This is too big.
100%.
I was delusional. I definitely
really? So
used
Aaron says,
that.
Aaron says 100%. You're like, no, we're fine.
I never thought we wouldn't survive. I don't think I even thought about it. I think I was just so wrapped up in let's go, what's next, keep moving, do it for the staff, do it for Aaron, have a purpose within this trying time that I don't think I let the thought enter my mind.
But Aaron, you were saying, you're like me. You were like, yeah, nope, this is bigger than me.
I didn't think about it much, but when you look at the ledgers and you look at the bottom line and
yes,
you don't want to miss a payroll. You want to make sure you have funds to pay your staff and
to buy all the next round of takeout
yeah.
and the boxes
yeah.
and the bottles and
when
chicken.
When you're looking at the ledger and you're hardly breaking even, it does give you a little bit of worry. But like Chase said, we really had a lot to prove. We had just opened. We had goals and a vision for how we thought the restaurant was going to be on day one, and
mm-hmm.
that all changed. That all got scrapped, and we found the resilience to figure out a path forward.
How did it impact the two of you in your co-ownership relationship?
Like us together?
Yeah, just the trying times.
It brought us closer. I think that the time brought us closer with a lot of the staff, and a lot of our staff is still with us. Or at least a nice chunk from 5 years ago.
Oh, that's great.
And when I look back at those times, there were just a lot of special moments that existed that couldn't have existed in any other context that were a byproduct of enduring this wild time together and being on the same team and this survival mode. And me and Aaron were in it together in the same role,
mm-hmm.
where even if we were afraid, we pretended that we weren't because we were the face to other people.
Your leaders.
And we wanted to make sure that they felt comforted.
Right.
And that really fueled us and motivated us as well.
Mm-hmm. And you're checking for vaccine cards every day, right? Yep. You're doing temperature checks.
We did the temperature
you
checks.
You were doing all the things.
Yeah, crazy looking back now, you know, asking people's IDs, referring their IDs to their vax cards. People were emotional in general at the time. So if they forgot their ID because they were just running out for a second and then they were coming in and I had to say, no, you can't come in. We frequently would try to put ourselves in front of a situation that might be emotionally difficult for the staff with customers and with purveyors or wherever it might have come up. Because it was just an intense time for all people.
So, Erin, when did it feel to you like things were starting to become normal again?
Such a blur.
Never really.
Still today.
It feels normal now, but it's like, when did it happen?
Yeah, I mean, things feel normal now, but there's a lot that we learned during this whole time. And
tell me more. What are some lessons that come to mind?
There are a lot of systems that are still in practice today. When COVID was at its peak, we were doing a lot contact tracing, and somebody would call out with COVID, and we would have to scramble and have two different sort of like pods for our staff, and we'd have to call people off that day and scramble to get people in. And a lot of times we were running with a very small crew, and I think part of that forced us to streamline our operations to be as efficient as possible, but it also made for a work ethic for the staff that is bar none.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of built these like super cooks in a way, because the way that our kitchen operates now is at a level where we would never imagine the volume we're doing. And a lot of it is due to the lessons we learned and the systems that we developed during the COVID times.
Well, now you've just celebrated 5 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What does that feel like, Erin? 5 years. You're still here.
Like 20 years.
Yeah. Well, it's a great accomplishment. We're super proud.
So what's ahead?
We're definitely
five
at a turning
more years
point.
Down the road.
Yeah, we're at a turning point where we are starting to think. For a long time, there was like, let's think about right now. Let's like stay focused in the present. And now I do think that there's a level of comfort where we feel really good about Chef Special. And I think we're ready to start setting other goals. We haven't really pinned down exactly what they are yet, but it's exciting to take the confidence of COVID, which was having to adapt and change and recreate and learn many things that we didn't know about ourselves, about people, about the business, with us into another adventure. And that feels good. And that feels like a great accomplishment in itself that we can take on to the next endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
We have been speaking with Chase Bracamontes, who is co-owner and beverage director at Chef Special Cocktail Bar, and Erin Cabot, who's co-owner and head chef. Thank you both so much. And again, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
What
this
a
is great.
Milestone.
Thank you so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. To stay connected to Chicago news and culture, hit subscribe or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again later today.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.